The code of conduct specifies that marketing choice should be offered and also specifies arbitration about marketing contracts as well as cane supply agreements. There's some different views in the industry, obviously, about that. QSL's got a view about marketing choices. We think marketing choice is the solution to some of the issues we have in the sugar industry, and there should be competition around marketing. So, to the degree that the code preserves that, we think it's on the right track.
But it's come a little bit late for this round of negotiations that you've been endeavouring to get concluded. If compulsory arbitration had been available, say, at the end of last year, when you and Wilmar seemed so far apart, it looked as though you were never going to get to the point where you're at now, would you have used it?
Looking back now, it's hard to imagine that it would have been a slower process than the one we've just been through. So it's a bit of a hypothetical, but my view would be probably yes.
So where have you ended up with some of the sticking points, particularly that issue of co-mingling of sugar? Because Wilmar wanted its sugar stockpiles to be maintained separately. You indicated that that could be problematic. Where did you two end up on that point?
On that specific issue, we've agreed with Wilmar if you don't want to co-mingle sugar, QSL won't force you to do it. We think it's analogous to ripping up money and flushing it down to the toilet because the more sugar you store, the more it's worth. We don't want to be selling sugar when Brazil's producing sugar. We want to store it and sell it when it's worth more. And you can store significantly more sugar if everyone agrees to cooperate and mix together. We have agreed with Wilmar that we'll agree to what we call a co-mingling agreement. So if in the future we both agree that it makes sense to mix it together, then we'll hopefully have those arrangements in place. That's one of the things that's missing at the moment. We're waiting for that back from Wilmar. And you might have caught up, we responded to Wilmar last night and marked up the contract and sent it back to them. So I'm hoping we're only a few days away now from resolving all of this.
Only days away. That is certainly good news, Greg Beachell, if you can get that deal hammered out. Now, we've also had the Productivity Commission hand down its report. It's been tabled now in the Federal Parliament. And apart from recommending that the Queensland sugar laws be repealed, it also came up with an idea that the Australian government should legislate to exclude agricultural commodity trading companies from being granted charity status and receiving tax concessions along those lines. What would that mean for an organisation like yours, Queensland Sugar Limited?
That was a bit of a surprise to us. It wasn't in the draft report and it came out in the final report, so we didn't get a chance to make any arguments about that. QSL is a company that returns all profits to members, so we don't actually make a profit to be taxed on. But there are some benefits that we get from our tax status. We're entitled to those benefits under the law as it exists today. It's a matter for government, really, if they want to change that law. But certainly, QSL provides a community benefit and returns all of our profits to members and runs on a cost recovery basis, which delivers a big benefit to the industry and the country. So we think the tax status shouldn't change, but as I say, that's a matter for government to consider.
So that one came completely out of the blue.
Yeah.
And you didn't get a chance to argue the case, but will you now?
Yes, including here, where I'm saying that we're not persuaded that QSL's tax status should change. I really don't think it will. But yeah, we were a bit surprised by that finding.
Greg Beachell, you're the Chief Executive of Queensland Sugar Limited. We've spent so much of the past 12 to 18 months talking about sugar marketing and the negotiations that you've been involved in on that front. But what about your job today? How much more difficult is it compared with the position you were sitting in 18 months ago when you were overseeing a 100% sugar pool on behalf of the industry?
Well, we've got much more certainty now than we did have 18 months ago. Marketing choice was being debated as a concept back then. Some in the industry had the view that there shouldn't be choice. Millers should be able to do the marketing of all of the crop if they want to. So we've resolved that issue, and QSL's future as a competitive marketer has been made more sure because of that. 18 months ago, there were different views about whether QSL should be the terminal operator for the industry or not, and we've resolved that question as well. So, you know, some of the questions about what QSL would be doing in the future, you know, have now been resolved. The question that remains to be answered is, what sort of tonnage is QSL going to be marketing in the future? And that's going to be within our control. It'll depend on the job that we do and the prices that we achieve compared to our competition.
And the reality is, you already know that the answer is going to be less than it was. So if sugar marketing is a volume game, how are you going to continue to offer a value proposition, as you've described it in the past, to your members, your growers?
I think the competition will foster innovation in the industry, and QSL's value proposition will be around that, as well as the prices that we deliver. QSL will still be a significant player in the world sugar market. We've got tonnages around 1 million tonnes, you know, effectively locked in under contractual arrangements, and we're expecting to have more than that.
And what have growers been doing in those areas where choice is a reality? Have they voted with their feet? What kind of percentages are they signing up with you, and are they hedging their bets?
QSL's achieved some tonnage in Tully and MSF, but this year was really difficult. It felt like we were starting 80 metres behind in a 100-metre race where, you know, we came in very late in the piece when we finalised our contracts. We've got about 150,000 tonnes out of those areas. It felt like a good result to us, but we're certainly hoping for maybe 100,000 tonnes more than that from the Tully and MSF areas in the following season, the 2018 season.
And it's not only growers, Greg Beeshill, that you've had to convince of that value proposition. How has the uncertainty around the sugar marketing space affected the confidence of your customers, the sugar refiners in those key export markets?
They're very interested in what's happening here. You might have seen a few weeks ago we announced a extension of our long-term contract with Korea. And the Korean customers had some very nice things to say about QSL as a producer-seller and a 45-year relationship.
Sure, but they only gave you 1 year, Greg Beeshill. Wouldn't you have wanted a bit more security than that?
They, in fact, wanted 3 years, and it was okay. QSL that brought it back to 1 year because we didn't have the tonnage to sell beyond that because these marketing choice arrangements hadn't been finalised at that time. So they're ready to buy for a longer period of time, and I'm sure we're going to be having a discussion about that pretty soon with them.
All right. Well, just finally, I know volume is one thing. Price is another critical component in the amount that growers ultimately paid for their cane. How concerned are you about the slump in the global sugar price just recently? And have those growers who have been without a cane supply agreement now missed out on the opportunity to lock in prices at above 20 US cents a pound?
Yeah, well, the price has come back a long way. We were in the low $600 a tonne and now we're below $500 a tonne. Australia's a very competitive industry, so it's still profit-making levels for most of the industry, but a lot of people have missed an opportunity to price sugar at a much higher level. They remind me of that every time I see the growers up north of here. It feels to me like the Brazil crop's about to start. There's not a lot of fundamental news that has caused this slide. It's mostly been caused by speculators liquidating their position. Sometimes at this time of year, before the Brazilian crop starts, the market gets a bit nervous, and we're hoping that that's the situation and we're close to the bottom now.
I'm sure many growers are hoping that that is the case and that you are only a matter of days from signing on the dotted line with Wilmar. Greg Beeshill, thanks so much for being with us on the Queensland Country Hour today.
Thanks very much, Charlie.